Hi, this is Barry Lissett in Forums, the Institute for Operations Research and the Management Sciences. You're listening to Science of Better, a series of podcasts about ways that analytics and math modeling help people like you and organizations like your own. With today's computing power and storage capacity, companies and organizations are capturing increasingly large amounts of data that can yield enormous benefits if you know how to analyze it. In today's segment, we speak with Michael Schreck, a partner and vice president for IBM Global Business Services. Mr. Schreck is also the IBM Global Information Management Foundation leader. IBM has just issued a white paper entitled Analytics, the Real-World Use of Big Data, How Innovative Enterprises Extract Value from Uncertain Data. He joins us today to discuss the report, which he co-authored. Mike, welcome to the Science of Better.
Thanks, Barry. It's great to be here.
What is this report, and how does it relate to something called the Big Data at Work survey?
Yeah, so today is, Barry, big data is one of the most discussed and written about subjects, really in both the technical as well as business media. Yet big data is oftentimes misunderstood, and it's been difficult to discern the reality from the hype. So this study was designed to do just that, to understand what companies across many industries and geographies are doing or planning to do with big data, including how do they define big data, where and how are they starting their big data efforts, where are they on their big data journey, what are some of the common attributes and obstacles that they are experiencing along the way, and most importantly, what business value are companies deriving from big data and analytics?
So this is a broad spectrum of knowledge about the way that big data has actually been being used.
Absolutely.
And let's start with a basic definition. Some people refer to big data as large amounts of data. Others refer to data that's too large to analyze by traditional tools. How do you define it?
Yeah, and this was part of the survey and born out of the study itself. But as much of the industry, IBM defines big data around what's commonly referred to as the three V's. One being volume, which you alluded to and usually is the first definition that respondents think of. But in addition to that, it also includes variety, which refers to the structured and unstructured nature of the information.
What do you mean by unstructured information?
Yeah, so unstructured, and it's considered and estimated that about 80% of the information around the world today is semi-structured or unstructured. And what that means is those are the emails, the text, the audios, the videos, the what's commonly referred to as the unstructured types of information that companies are grappling with as part of big data.
Okay.
And then a third V that is commonly associated with big data is velocity. And that really addresses the requirement for more real-time capabilities associated with not only collecting the information, but being able to analyze the information much more quickly than most companies can do today.
So how fast the information is coming in, whether you can track it as it's coming in?
Yeah, the concept here is in order to really enable solutions like real-time marketing when a customer is on the phone with your contact center or when a customer is on your website, to be able to understand enough about that customer to be able to apply analytics to know what the product or service that customer is most likely to be interested in, and to be able to push that result of the analytics out to the customer service representative or to your website, again, while the customer is there, requires much more real-time data collection, integration, and analytics than is commonly available today, an important part of big data.
Data is only as useful as it is accurate, a fact that many experts in analytics and IT are quick to remind us when they use the expression garbage in, garbage out. With that in mind, can you speak to the veracity of data, what your report calls the fourth V?
Yeah, so as part of the report, IBM has introduced a fourth V called, as you mentioned, Barry, Veracity. And that addresses really two aspects of big data. One is quality. And as we think about being able to bring together information not only from within organizations, but also being able to go out and access information that's available via social media, so it could be Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, as well as point of sale and syndicated data, the opportunity and the importance of ensuring the quality of the information is very important, and a very important aspect of big data.
Because if it's not accurate, you can't really draw any true conclusions from it. Is that it?
Exactly. And it also becomes a little more complex because now you're actually bringing together information that a corporation is not responsible for. It's information available in the public domain. Another aspect of that within Veracity is also the security and privacy associated with that information. So some of the applications of big data, many of which involve customer information, or in the case of the healthcare industry, patient information, the ability to secure and ensure the privacy of that information and to govern it as such is critically important. The other dimension of Veracity as associated with big data addresses the inherent ambiguity associated with certain types of data or the uncertainty. So as you think about leveraging information like weather or how a particular patient is going to respond to a treatment or how a particular customer is going to respond to a marketing or promotion activity, even though you may do a great job of ensuring the quality and governing the information, a certain amount of big data is going to be uncertain. And so dealing with that uncertainty and ambiguity is a very important part of big data.
In other words, whether you can predict something from the data that you're collecting.
Exactly.
This is Barry List, and you're listening to the Informs podcast, Science of Better. Today's guest is IBM's Michael Schreck, who's discussing an IBM report on big data. So let's discuss some of your findings. How many of your respondents report that they're gaining competitive advantage from big data and analytics?
Yes, and this is actually a question that we've asked the respondents over the last 3 years. And this year, almost two-thirds, with 63%, of the respondents felt like they were gaining significant competitive advantage from the use of their information and analytics. And if we were going to compare that to just 2 years ago, that percentage of respondents who at that time in 2010 felt like they were gaining a competitive advantage was only 37%. So over the last 2 years, we've seen a 70% increase in the percentage of organizations who felt like they were truly gaining differentiation and competitive advantage from their information assets.
And that also means that they get it. They understand the importance of this, and they're adopting it.
I think the other dynamic that goes along with that comment is the fact that the business truly has latched onto this and gets it and really understands the business value associated with doing a better job of collecting and analyzing information.
You alluded to it a little bit earlier, but where does social media fit into this?
So clearly social media and the opportunity to bring together social media information with a company's internal information, if you will, particularly about better understanding their customers, is a key enabler here. And we're seeing organizations certainly integrating social media information in order to be able to do that from sources like Facebook and LinkedIn and Twitter and several other sources of information like that that contain very valuable demographic and other types of information around their customers and prospective customers.
Now, the report identifies two important trends that make this era of big data unique. What exactly are these two trends that you consider so important?
One is the mass digitization. And today we're seeing sensors able to be able to collect information from many, many, many different sources. So whether it be vehicles to, from an energy perspective, how and when and we use information within our homes, to some of the smarter planet type applications like smarter transportation, the ability to apply these sensors or RFID tags on a mass basis has allowed us to collect information that heretofore just wasn't practical or possible to collect. So that is clearly driving tremendous kind of the volume side of big data. On the other end is the analytics, and we've seen tremendous advancements in the tools and technologies that allow organizations not only to be able to collect information, but to be able to do a more effective job of analyzing the information, which is where the real business value tends to be.
The study has five key findings that lead you to make your important recommendations at the end. So let's take a look at those findings. We'll see if we can get to all five of them. But to start, how does big data tie into objectives that focus on the customer?
Yeah, in the study, we found that almost half, 49% of the respondents are starting their big data efforts around doing a more effective job of collecting and analyzing customer information. And I think it really speaks to the fact that doing that, better understanding customer behavior, preferences, is an important part of an organization's strategy. And in fact, this is consistent with two other recently published studies by IBM. One is the Chief Marketing Officer study. The other was the Chief Executive Officer, CEO study, both of which identified understanding and doing a better and more effective job of serving today's new empowered consumer is the top priority, and that was certainly born out of the big data study as well. There were other areas, particularly for industries like manufacturing, the public sector distribution, like supply chain optimization, pricing optimization, risk management, fraud detection, that were also identified in terms of delivering real business value from big data. But clearly, customer and customer analytics stood out really across all the industries as being where most companies are starting.
I think you mentioned fraud a moment ago, and the report gives an example of a company that uses big data to deal with fraud. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, we're seeing tremendous uptake in the use of big data by third-party payers. So whether it's the public sector around some of those social programs like Medicare and Medicaid here in the U.S. or large insurers. So one of the companies we profiled in the study, Santam, which is a large South Africa insurance company, previously was processing claims like many insurance companies do today, and that is they manually review the claims. All the claims kind of receive the same treatment. If it passes that verification, the claims are paid. And then after the fact, there's some additional analysis done to try to identify any of those claims that have been paid that may have been fraudulent. And then the insurance companies basically chase after those fraudulent claims and try to recollect the money they had already paid out. Santam, through the use of big data, is changing that model and transforming that process to do a more effective job of real-time analytics at the time the claim is processed and scoring those claims. And what that has allowed Santam to do is, number one, identify fraudulent claims before they're paid, and they've saved over $2 million in the very early stages of this process.
Well, that's certainly important.
Doing that.
Catching it before the fact.
Absolutely. As well as in doing that. They've also improved customer service for the 90% plus claims that come in that are low risk or not fraudulent. And so it's allowed them to fast track those claims and actually improve customer service to a majority of their customers. So they've really been able to provide value on both ends.
Let's move on to your second key finding. People in IT and analytics are sometimes uncomfortable bedfellows. How does IT infrastructure support big data and analytics?
Yeah, so we found in the study that companies are placing a high importance on, and we certainly do as well, making sure that you begin your big data efforts with a scalable, extensible information foundation. And so if we think back to the three V's, having the technologies and the processes in place that allow organizations to deal with the volumes that are growing at an unprecedented rate through things like digitization and social media is an example, to be extensible in order to be able to handle more unstructured information, recognizing that most environments today within organizations are designed to handle only structured. So to have that capability, as well as bringing on some of the emerging technologies that now enable organizations to do more in-memory, real-time analytics to deal with the third B, velocity, while at the same time ensuring the quality, accuracy, and governance of the information through veracity. So it really starts with having that, what we refer to as the information management foundation, in order to be able to enable big data and the subsequent analytics.
And how is data that already exists in an organization playing a part in all this?
Yeah, it was interesting in the survey that organizations are taking a very pragmatic approach to big data, and wherein if you listen to a lot of the hype around social media and a lot of different sources, geospatial and others, types of information, what we found is most organizations are starting with just bringing together and integrating and analyzing their existing internal information. So if we think back to customer for a minute, they're starting with bringing together customer information from their various customer touch points or channels. So it might be sales, marketing, customer service, their website, an ATM if you're a bank, a network if you're a telecommunications company, and deriving tremendous business value just from that. And so they're really starting with that internal information, and then after they...
So they're not overreaching on the one hand, and on the other hand, they're not overwhelming themselves with new projects that they don't know how to manage.
Exactly. So starting pragmatically with leveraging some of the tools and technologies they already have in-house, information that they're familiar with, analytic capabilities that they already have, again, access to, and then extending it from there.
And I understand that the South American supermarket chain Auto Mercado is one example of how this is being done.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent example. That's a retailer who was struggling both with managing its inventory levels as well as customer service. And through the use of big data, Auto Mercado brought together both its customer and product data from multiple systems, and there's over 6 terabytes of information. And as a result of that, it was able to accomplish several significant business imperatives. One is it was able to reduce and optimize inventory levels across all of its stores. It was able to perform real-time pricing optimization that allowed it to reduce waste associated with perishable food. Next, it was able to improve...
Meaning that as a shipment comes in, if there's spoilage, you can immediately just price it down rather than wait till it becomes worth less.
Exactly, or as it's on the shelf approaching its expiration date, you can run promotions and lower the prices in order to get it off the shelves before you have to basically write it off and it truly becomes waste. and to be able to anticipate and do a better job of forecasting that across all of its stores. Also improve customer service by doing a better job of having the right products at the right store at the right time. And also an additional benefit, which I don't think they were expecting at the outset, but they're also now leveraging that information relative to new store locations, which has been an additional benefit.
So they're using it to help determine where to open up additional stores.
Yeah, and some of the quantifiable benefits we've seen at Auto Mercatus include they've increased annual revenues by 30%, profits by $7 million a year, as well as decrease the cost associated with things like tax compliance reporting. We mentioned perishable goods have been reduced by 35%. So real quantifiable business benefits associated with the use of big data and analytics.
Yeah, that's a clear example. What does a study say about going from the fundamentals of analytics to a higher level, what we call advanced analytics?
Yeah, so as was mentioned earlier, what we found through the study is that companies are taking a very practical approach. So they're starting by leveraging existing tools and technologies in areas like query and reporting, data mining, some predictive modeling. And then as they advance their big data efforts, they're moving into some more sophisticated areas like simulation, natural language analytics, geospatial analytics, video, et cetera. The other thing we found in the analytics area is that while the tools and technologies as it relates to analytics is maturing at a very rapid pace and continues to emerge, what we found is there's a real gap and challenge associated with having the human analytical skills required to really leverage those tools. And so as we look forward, and one of the reasons we partnered with Oxford University on this is it'll continue to be a challenge to basically fill that skills gap in as it relates to analytics.
And we know that a number of universities throughout the world are beginning to introduce advanced analytics degrees, and even associations like Informs are looking at certifying people. The final important point that you found in your report, getting good use and value out of analytics is often a gradual thing. What are the stages in a company's adoption of analytics and big data?
Yeah, so we saw four kind of stages of adoption, if you will, in analyzing the information coming out of the study. It begins with what we call educate, and those are organizations that have not funded and invested in a specific big data project yet. Yet as we talked with those organizations and looked at what was really going on, we found a number of activities associated with increasing their awareness, looking for business cases and business opportunities to leverage big data, and several other similar big data activities. So while not a big data project yet, clearly beginning to focus on how those organizations can leverage big data. The second stage we refer to as explore, and those are organizations that are developing big data strategies and roadmaps and blueprints, which also include business cases that are going to set their big data strategy and direction for the future. So in those cases, there are big data project teams, including both business and IT representatives, that are developing those blueprints and roadmaps. The third stage is what we call engage, and those are organizations that are now implementing typically pilots or proof of concepts that are delivering real business value from big data. It's also allowing those organizations to gain experience with some of the new tools and technologies, putting in place governance models around veracity, as well as gaining and continuing to build their analytics capabilities. And then those organizations are moving to the fourth stage, which is what we call execute. And those are the leading organizations who have embraced big data across the enterprise, serving, you know, multiple functions and are really, you know, leveraging big data to the utmost.
I want to remind our listeners that this is Barry List and you are listening to the Informs podcast, Science of Better. So, these are your key findings. What recommendations does all of this lead you to? What are you telling companies to go out there and do?
Yeah, so as part of the study, we identified five key recommendations that, for the most part, follow the findings. One is we think it's real important to begin by focusing your big data efforts on a business area that is going to deliver real business value. And as was mentioned earlier, many companies are electing to start with customer and how to leverage information to better understand and serve their customers. But at the same time, as we saw in a couple of the case studies, other organizations are starting in areas like fraud detection or supply chain optimization or pricing optimization, risk management, et cetera. So really it's what's most important to that particular organization. The second recommendation is that we believe it's important that early on organizations develop a big data blueprint, and this starts by understanding and leveraging the investments they've already made in areas like tools and technologies and processes in data, and then to look forward to say what might that look like relative into the future relative to big data. And that will identify some additional areas. Maybe it's, you know, real-time analytics. Maybe it's how to deal with unstructured information, but gaps that organizations are going to need to address as they embrace big data. And then combining that with the first recommendation around the business case, we'll lay out a roadmap that ensures organizations are delivering business value early and throughout the life cycle, while moving the organization towards an enterprise-wide blueprint that deals with things like reducing redundancy and standardizing processes and all the things that organizations want to be able to deal with here. The third recommendation addresses, you know, start with your existing data. Start with information that you understand, as was born out of the study. Organizations, just by doing a better job of leveraging that internal information, can derive tremendous value from big data and analytics. And as they advance those capabilities, as they start delivering that business value and building momentum, then they're able to bring on more advanced technologies, more advanced analytics skills, et cetera. So we think that you know, starting with a pragmatic approach focused on real business value is the right approach. The fourth recommendation is build analytic capabilities based on your business priorities. And again, what we find here is that while the tools and technologies are advancing, the human analytical skills are not keeping up with the market demand. In fact, there was a recently published study that suggests in the U.S. alone, there are over 350,000 openings for data scientists, individuals that really understand not only analytics, and you might think of PhD statistician types, but also have the combined experience and knowledge that understand the information. So it's not only building analytics skills, it's building the industry and the domain expertise that allows one to truly be effective in analyzing big data. So continuing to build out those skills, we think is going to be critically important for the industry and certainly organizations.
And we sometimes forget, at least the general observer thinks that it's the machine that's doing it, it's a computer that's doing it. But, of course, it is human beings who have to build this and run it, and that's why these skills are so important.
Well, that's right, and it's not only building the deep analytic skills that will continue to be important to solve the really hard problems, but it's also building analytic skills on the part of the what I call, you know, frontline information consumer. So the people in marketing or the people in your call centers or in sales that have enough analytics capabilities that they can interact and use the information that's now going to be available to them. And the fifth recommendation is to create a business case, and this is probably the most important recommendation that underlies this entire process, and that is to make sure that you're focused on, again, delivering real business value. And you know, don't make the mistake that companies sometimes do, which is this becomes an IT project and, you know, it's something fun to do. Rather, it needs to be a collaborative effort between the business and IT that leverages information to deliver, again, real business value.
Don't buy it because it's a shiny new toy.
Exactly. Exactly right.
We only have time for one final question, and that is about the future. How do you see big data and analytics advancing in the years to come?
Yeah, so we see big data continuing to be leveraged to enable process transformation, particularly in areas like marketing and fraud detection and risk management. We see it being used to transform organizations as organizations develop around the better use of information. And there'll be new organizations that grow up specifically around this, and we've seen many examples of that, as well as existing organizations that transform themselves around the better use of information. And we're going to see entire industries grow up and transform around this. And then at the same time, and if we look out a few years, and we even see applications of this today, we're going to see the convergence of what we call big data and analytics with smarter planet. So if you look at applications like smarter transportation or what's happening in the energy industry today, or safer cities, or what's happening with better health care, we see what underlies those applications is information and analytics. And as we continue to apply big data and analytics to those type of applications, we're not only improving corporate performance, but we're beginning to improve the quality of life for citizens around the world. And that's when it gets very interesting.
Social benefits coming from this advanced technology.
Absolutely.
That's all the time we have today. We've been talking with Michael Schreck of IBM. Mr. Schreck, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Barry, for having me.
And thank you for listening to the Science of Better podcast by Informs, the Institute for Operations Research in the Management Sciences. For more information about operations research and this series of podcasts, visit us on the web at www.informs.org. Good day, and remember, keep on crunching those numbers.